We are in a series titled Win the Day, some material by Mark Batterson. And the essence of Win the Day is this. We're going to cover 7 daily habits that can help us stress less and accomplish more. In other words, there's certain things that if you and I practice them, if we make them a part of our life can get better daily. But we have a part to play in this. Last week, as I mentioned, we talked about flip the script, habit 1. If you want to change your life, start by changing your life story. And remember, Joseph was separated from his family for 13 years, and he had to greatly struggle with anger and resentment because of what his brothers did to him. But at the end of that 13-year period, God flipped the script on his life. And he was using the time of struggle, those 13 years, listen, to prepare him for his next assignment. And God elevated him, and he became an administrative overseer of Egypt, and he saved a nation from famine. God is preparing you in the midst of your struggle today for the next great assignment he has for you. And so God's the God that can flip the script in our life. Today, habit number 2, the title of the message is Kiss the Wave. Now, I will explain that a little bit later, but the title is Kiss the Wave. And here's the big idea for the message today. The obstacle is not the enemy. The obstacle is the way. In other words, you have struggles and problems in your life today. I do. We all do. And we tend to look at these obstacles as an enemy. They are a challenge. We cannot minimize them. But if we look at them in a certain way, the obstacle is the way forward. And we're going to talk about that today. There's a great verse in Romans 8:28. I want to share the biblical principle of this whole idea. Romans 8:28, it's in your notes. Let's read it together. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. If you want to get a hold of a principle this morning that can change you today and tomorrow, this one is it. We serve a God. Paul served the same God. He says, we know, we are believers. That represents Christians. We know. Paul had personal experience about this principle. He said, God, the living God who created us, redeemed us through Christ, he can cause everything to work together for good. If we walk it forward with him and love him, and we're called according to his purpose. Now, I want to stop there, and I want you to think of the worst mistake of your life. For each of us, that only takes a few seconds. And God can take that, and he can cause it to work for good. Now, the issue is we have to allow him to get his hands on it. We tend to bury it, repress it, ignore it. We want to somehow keep it stiff-armed in our life. We all have experienced that as well. But God, he is the one that can take the mistakes of our life, the struggles, the pain, the hurts. And the scripture says this, he can cause it to work for your good. Now, you and I are a part of this process, and we have to do our part. But the principle is this. Understand every failure in your life, every struggle, every pain. I mean, we're talking the deepest, darkest parts of your life. God can somehow get a hold of that. And the Word of God says he can cause it. He can cause it to work for good. That's who he is. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that. In the book that Mark Batterson wrote about Win the Day, he talks about a pastor friend that he went to see. And the pastor struggled with migraines for 5 years. And the moments of relief were few and far between. And the pain became so debilitating, he had to quit his job. He was at a church, and he could no longer do it. And so Mark went to see him, and he asked him a question. He says, well, how do you manage this? How do you deal with this? This pain and the loss of a job. And here's what the guy said. He said, I've learned to kiss the wave. Now, Mark kind of looked at him and said, well, he wondered, what exactly does that mean? And here's where it came from. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in the 1800s, wrote this. He says, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. He says, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. We're going to unpack that in a little bit. But Charles Spurgeon, great, one of the great preachers of the 1800s, influenced many people. You know what he suffered from? Depression. And if you read his writings, he could spend an hour crying, and he's not sure what he was crying about. He somehow suffered from this whole thing about deep depression. And he wrote this, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. So I want to explain that statement. And it's in your notes. See, the word wave represents a circumstance or the pain. You can write that word in your notes if you've got a pen and the sermon listening guide. It represents the hurt. The waves in your life are the pain and the hurt in your life. And we find in the Gospels when the disciples were in a boat, a storm arose, and it says the waves began to pound on the boat. They lapped up over the ship. Listen, you have waves most likely pounding on the boat of your life today. Throws me. Those two words, it means to propel something by force through the air. If you're going to throw something, I mean, we're talking about is an accelerated motion through the air. Sometimes we just feel life just forces itself upon us. You know, it could be a relationship issue and something unfair, but we just feel thrown at times through life, do we not? Rock of ages. This represents God himself. You can write that in, God himself. When this statement refers to the rock of ages, that's who God is. And he's referred to as a rock in the book of Psalms. And finally, the word kiss. When you think of kiss, it means to touch with the lips as a sign of love, reverence, or greeting. I mean, that's basically what a kiss is. Now, let me put this sentence together. Charles Spurgeon said, I have learned to kiss the wave, the struggle, the pain that throws me, forces me, pushes me against the rock of ages. So the question this morning, as we think about kissing the wave, how do we do that? If God is a God that can flip the script in our life, he can change things when we surrender to him. It says, Joseph, but God can do it. I can't, but he can. Listen, you might be here today, and you need the script flipped in your life. And part of it, habit number two, is to learn how to kiss the wave. So we're going to talk about that. How do we kiss the wave? And let me say, I'm not in any way diminishing pain and hurt in life, but there is a way that as we look at our circumstances that are pounding upon us, that are forcing us and pushing us in a direction that makes us feel uncomfortable, if we look at it a certain way, listen, Romans 8:28, God can cause it, create it, touch it, and make it work for good. And that is the huge principle of the entire message. So, how do we kiss the wave? Let's get started. Number one, the first thing we have to do is we need to face our fears. We need to face our fears. Now, it may not be a fear you're dealing with. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's a resentment. Maybe it's a deep wound from childhood or from another adult. But we need to face it. Now, in the book of Psalms, we're familiar with that passage about David and God is the great shepherd. He says this, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you, God, are close beside me." What's your darkest valley this morning? The valley of grief is a big one. When we lose a loved one, a friend, a family member, grief can be overwhelming. How about sickness? We all have seasons of sickness where, God, I don't get it. Why am I going through this? How about pain? Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. It's mental. Whether it be through a divorce or something unfair that happened to us, how about the childhood hurt? What's your darkest valley? David says this, I will not be afraid. You know why? There's somebody who is close beside me that can flip the script. There's somebody close beside me that can give me strength to see it in such a way he will cause it to work for good. In 2 Chronicles 20, 21, we find in that chapter three armies have come against Jehoshaphat and the people. And this is verse 21, and as it's into the story, I want you to read it with me. Let's read it. "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Okay, three armies are coming against the people, and they pray, and God sends an answer. And then God's voice says this, "You will not have to fight this battle. I will fight on your behalf." Now, here's a key insight. He says, but tomorrow, you've got to go out and face them. In other words, I will deliver them, but you got to face them. I am not good at facing some of my deepest struggles. I'll be honest. And I thought about, what are the ways that we often respond to something that's hurtful in our life? Sometimes we just ignore it. Sometimes we repress it. You know what that means? We stuff it. We have a deep pain in our life, and we somehow stiff-arm it. I like to call it putting it in the basement of our life, putting a padlock on the door, and hope it doesn't rise its head, but it often does. We repress things. Here's another way people deal with things. We medicate it. In other words, if we have deep pain in our life, medication can come from different forms. Could be food, could be drugs, could be alcohol, could be all kinds of things. We medicate our pain as opposed to facing our pain. Mark tells a story about his wife, Laura, who has cancer. And she began to study what could she do to help push back on the cancer. I believe it was breast cancer. And in his book, there's this statement, if you don't own it, it will own you. You know what that means? You and I have to somehow face the emotional, overwhelming, darkest valley in us. We got to face it, and somehow we got to own it without letting it own us. Now, Mark said, kissing the wave in his wife's circumstance was this. It's confessing what was wrong in his case, or her case, it was cancer. But it's also professing what is right, and that's God's healing power. I want you to catch this. If you have something in your life that's really pressing in on you, I mean, you got to acknowledge it. We have to face it. We can't defeat it, but with God's help, we can. But then we also profess God's word, which says he can heal us of it. It's like two sides of one coin, and we got to look at life in that way. The first thing we have to do, we got to face it. Acknowledge it. Accept it. Say, God, I'm powerless, but I'm not going to run from it. So kiss the wave. Point one, we have to face the fear or whatever it is in our life we're dealing with. Number two, the second thing we need to do is stand your ground. Stand your ground. Read with me Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. When you and I face something that's uncomfortable, we have to learn to stand our ground. You know why? If we don't own it, it will own us emotionally. And somehow, some way, we need to stand our ground. The passage here talks about armor. It talks about, like, it's like clothing. I mean, everybody got dressed today and we're all covered up. That's good. But I want to talk about another kind of clothing. It's on the inside. It's what you put on the inside, on your heart. It's called the armor of God. And when we put on the armor, the helmet of salvation, understanding that we're God's child, and the breastplate of righteousness, and believing that Christ's righteousness becomes ours, and the belt of truth, the word of God, and when we put these pieces of clothing on, you know what it does? It helps us to stand our ground when fear or pain or hurt want to overwhelm us. I want to share two stories. One is about Queen Elizabeth. She lived in the 1800s. It's Queen Victoria. Got the wrong name. 1837 till 1901. She had a 63-year reign in Britain. And she met a guy by the name of Albert Augustus Charles Emmanuel. And she proposed to him. She fell madly in love with this guy. And she actually asked him to marry her. Well, they did. And in her diary, after they got married, she says she couldn't believe the love that she found. It was just ecstatic how he would affirm her. And she was like, she won the lottery. I mean, she was on cloud nine with this guy in her life. And exciting. That's wonderful. But here's what happened. They'd been married about 21 years, and Prince Albert contracted typhoid fever, and he died. They had 9 children, but Prince Albert died. I want to read what happened to her. She had Albert's room turned into a shrine. Every day for the rest of her life, she had the linens on Albert's bed changed, his clothes laid out, and a basin of water poured out for his morning shave. She slept with his nightshirt. And she lived for 40 years after Albert died. But she rarely left the palace, wore only black the rest of her life. Queen Victoria died on January 22nd, 1901, but she stopped living the day Albert died, which was December 14th, 1861. And it was over 14,000 days, 14,000 days, for 40 years. She was somehow imprisoned and defeated because of her husband's death. I want to tell you about another person. Her name is Anna. It's recorded in Acts chapter 2 about Anna. I believe it's Luke chapter 2. She was married for 7 years, and her husband died. She became a widow until she died at age 84. I figured even if she got married at 20, she was a widow for 57 years. But I want you to know what happened about Anna. It says that she was active, and she came to the temple, and she worshiped, and she prayed, and God put her in the scripture for a reason. I think, to encourage the rest of it. You know what happened? The difference between the two? One stopped living, and the other kept living, even though they died later on. You see, things can keep us from moving forward if we're not careful. And the point is, we have to stand our ground. We have to learn how to kiss the wave. We have to learn how to face the fear and say, God, this happened to me. I wish it wouldn't have. But I need to keep on living because I want the day to count. So the question under number two, wow, can you do it for a day? In other words, you and I are battling things today, but can you do it for a day to push back and stand your ground like Anna did and live a life of victory? I'm sure it took time to recover, but she pushed forward in life, and day by day, she made a better life for herself. So number one, face our fears. Number two, we need to stand our ground. Number three, we need to interrupt and change your response pattern. In other words, we have to do something on the inside that will change how we respond to the wave that is thrown into our life. In 1 John 4:18, John says this, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Let me give you the paraphrase of this. If you and I have pain or hurt or fear in our life, you know what the answer is? When the love of God, when we embrace it and understand it, it can drive out, diminish, overcome, conquer whatever it is the wave is in our life. In other words, the power of God's love is so powerful, it can consume and devour and somehow overthrow whatever it is we're dealing with. Read with me 1 John 5. It's in your notes. "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." I want to focus on the value of your faith. You know who's going to win in life, win the day? The people that exercise faith. It says the only way, the victory, comes to people who have faith. Because God honors that. It's the only way to please him. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He has all authority. He can diminish. He can defeat. He can conquer anything in your life because of who he is. When you think about your deepest struggle, the pain in your life, the fear, whatever it is, Mark says, identify the strain of fear virus that you're dealing with. In other words, identify it. And then he says this, and here's the key insight. What you and I need to do is inject faith in small doses to build up an immunity from that fear. Now, you know, the vaccines are being rolled out across the nation and the world. There's Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and people are sorting out, you know, do I take it, do I not? But here's what it does. When you get an injection of something, it builds up immunity to something else. And in this case, it's against the virus itself. It's the same with polio, smallpox, measles. As kids, we took all that stuff. It built up an immunity. Now listen closely. If you're having a struggle in a certain area with a deep hurt or pain or wound, we somehow need to interrupt or change the response to that level of pain in our life. How do we do it? Small doses of a vaccine called faith. In other words, you may not conquer it all in one day. Wow, I wish that would happen. Sometimes it does, but most likely it takes repeated efforts. Small injections of faith in response to the deepest pain in your life can somehow, some way, over time, build up immunity so you don't feel so overwhelmed by the fear or the pain or the hurt. So we have to interrupt. We have to change our response pattern to whatever it is that's pushing upon us. I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. We face it, we stand our ground, and we interrupt our response pattern to it. I've got a percent number I want to put up here. It's 100%. And there's a verse in the book of Galatians. It says, Christ redeemed us from this self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. I want you to leave here with one thought, and it's this. Whatever you're dealing with, Christ has the power to absorb it 100% into himself if we allow him to do it. You know how? We inject doses of faith into our life. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. We just inject faith whenever we can, and we build up an immunity from whatever it is that wants to overwhelm us. The obstacle is not the enemy. The obstacle is the way. The way we respond to it is the key of whether we'll become like the Queen Victoria, or will become like Anna. One, I think, faced it. The other did not. And there were two different endings. The same is true of us. So to kiss the wave, we look at life in a certain way and understand that God, his power, can somehow turn it and cause it to work for good if we surrender it to him. Let's bow for prayer. Just take a few moments right now. And I want you to surrender the deepest pain pocket in your life. Just say, okay, God, here it is. I don't want to ignore it or repress it. I don't want to medicate it. I just want to surrender it. Just give it to him. And I want you to somehow, some way, with God's help, look at it differently. That the obstacle is not the enemy, but rather how we respond to it is key. Face it. We're going to stand our ground through faith. And listen, you're going to inject small doses of faith beginning today. And tomorrow, and the next day, so that you build up an immunity to it, so that you own it and it doesn't own you. Lord, this morning I pray a prayer for everyone listening, everyone here today. That you're the God that promises that Jesus absorbed 100% of everything. And so we surrender all of it to you, and we'll do it again tomorrow, but we just give it to you, and we pray that your power through the resurrection, your grace, your mercy, but God can do it. I can't, but he can. That you will just literally make us people who have a faith response that will overcome the deepest hurt, the greatest pain, the severe wound in our life. So, Lord, I pray this morning you will begin a new healing process in people's lives today, as they look differently at their obstacle in their life. That you, the living God, can cause it to work for good. And so I pray a prayer of deliverance and healing and change into every person's life here today. Father, may they inject faith every day into the deepest pain pocket so that they will get the immunity, the strength, the confidence, and you will raise them up to be an overcomer like Anna. For this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.